You're listening to a podcast from TES and Times Higher Education.
Hello and welcome to this joint TES and Times Higher Education podcast. My name is Chris Parr. It's the week of A-Level Results Day, and to discuss what implications this annual Day of Reckoning has for schools and universities are John Gill, editor of Times Higher Education, William Stewart, reporter on the TES, and Jack Grove, reporter from the Times Higher Education also. Just an informal chat about the stories and headlines that are featured in these two fine educational publications in the build-up to Results Day and the clearing scramble that follows. Will, I suppose A-levels come before clearing, so we should go to you first. What's been in the TES on this very subject?
We've been speaking to the General Secretary of the HMC, who represent sort of elite independent schools like Eton and Harrow and places like that. And they've been talking about what's likely to happen this year, but also looking ahead a couple of years, because this year is actually going to be a year of stability, which is going to become quite a rare thing, because in a couple of years you're going to have new GCSEs and new A-levels coming in all at the same time, and they've got quite big fears about what that might mean. I think one of their points is they just feel it's been rushed in, because you've got to... Two big sets of new qualifications coming in all at the same time. Those with long memories might remember the last time A-levels were reformed, which is about almost a decade ago, and it ended up in a huge grading controversy. So they fear that there could be something like that again. And also they're worried about what will happen to top students' grades, because in a couple of years' time, we're going to have this move from the current modular system to linear exams, which they think, because students will have less signposting along the way to see what's happening in their weaker subjects, that may well lead to the kind of student who would at the moment have three A's or A stars, maybe having something as low as ACE at the extreme end. Mm. So they're slightly worried about whether universities are going to take that into account.
Mm. That's quite dramatic. So when you say a year of stability, is that stability in terms of the type of grades that we're expecting to see, as well as sort of wider stability, because there hasn't been the reform of the qualifications themselves? Are we expecting to see grades increase as they normally do, or dip? Wasn't there a slight dip last year in the number of people getting top grades?
Last year was a landmark year. I think for the first time in 21 years you have the proportion of top grades going down, and that was to do with essentially a clampdown on grade inflation from Ofqual, the exams regulator. That will continue. So I think this year you would expect certainly no increase and maybe a slight decrease again.
That's really interesting from the university side as well, because this plays into the reforms that were introduced by David Willetts, the university's minister, last year for the first time with the introduction of £9,000 fees. And he actually introduced this system to try and introduce a much greater element of competition between universities for top students, whereby anybody who got grades higher than AAB at A-level last year was taken out of the student number controls. These are the strict quotas on how many students each university can recruit. So those top grading students were taken out of that, and universities were able to recruit as many of them as they wanted, but in competition with each other. And it was a bit of a shock for universities, because there was actually a much smaller pool of students with those grades of AAB than was expected. And that actually led to a position where the most selective universities were really having to fight tooth and nail with each other for that smaller pool of students. And they actually ended up in significant under-recruitment for some universities, which, when you're talking about, you know, in the region of 200-400 students fewer than you were expecting, and obviously with the £9,000 fees, that's where most of your teaching money is coming from now, directly from the student. You've got a big financial black hole when those students didn't materialise. And of course this year, they're actually slightly lowering the grade threshold at which a student is taken out of that quota. So it's to ABB, the idea being that you'll have a much bigger pool of students. But if, as Will says, we're expecting actual grade deflation, I wonder if perhaps there might be a similar shock that there are fewer students to play with there than some might think.
And the financial implications of that are obviously huge. And Jack, I think, you were writing this week about you know some of the more traditionally prestigious universities entering clearing for the first time. They don't want to have that shortfall again.
Definitely, because
the pool of students that you can hunt after is much bigger this year. Was ABB. It's something like 115,000 as opposed to 85,000. And so lots of top universities, like places like Sheffield, Manchester, their average offer will be ABB or ABB. So all their students are in that bracket. So essentially, they don't have any quota. There's no buffer. There's no sort of guaranteed set of students they can fill. It's like all places are up for grabs. And so they can't be sort of relying on the fact that there'll be a sort of pool of students who they can feel. They've got to go after the top students. And I was speaking to Dominic Shellard. He's the Vice Chancellor at De Montfort University. He's obviously going to be in clearing. De Montfort goes into clearing every year. But he was at Sheffield previously, and he was saying when he was there 4 or 5 years ago, universities ran their admissions process from September to January, and that was it. They more or less filled their places, and that was it. Now, he says, universities of all stripes, they're going to be hunting students all year round, including clearing. So
it casts clearing in a completely different light, doesn't it? I mean, it was previously a kind of last chance saloon for students and a kind of, you know, bargain basement, you know, get rid of the places you've got left for universities. But now it's become a fairly mainstream way for universities, even those in the Russell Group and 1994 Group, which are the two mission groups for the most selective, sort of most high prestige universities, to actually go out and get the really, really top students.
Yeah, and that has implications for universities, but it also must have had a fair deal of change for how schools approach A levels results day, the sort of advice guidance they're having to give when students are opening their envelopes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fairly new climate that I don't think schools have necessarily adjusted to yet. I mean, I think what's interesting about the reformed A-levels will actually come in for first teaching in 2015. But universities, interestingly, are being expected to play a big role in designing these qualifications. And the idea was that they were unhappy with the knowledge that graduates were coming in with, that they weren't sufficiently prepared for degree courses. So the idea was maybe that they might make A-levels harder. But in a way, from what you're saying, it sounds like in some respects it might be in Russell Group's university's interest to have, you know, to make it easier for students to get top grades.
So you've financially, certainly.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be limiting the number of students in the AAB category, because those are the people that you can compete for. Mm-hmm. So I think it is interesting. I don't know if this AAB thing will continue.
Well, I think that was the idea, wasn't it?
Years.
I think the idea was that the grade threshold would continue to be lowered, so that the pool of... I mean, ultimately, what David Willetts, the universities minister, wanted to create a market. He's failed in lots of ways to do that, but what he really wants to do is have universities competing with each other for almost every student. So I think he'll continue to look to lower that threshold if he can, to make the competition higher. But obviously, if you go too low, then, you know, everyone suddenly is outside the student number controls, and you have unlimited expansion, which the government simply can't afford. But I think for students, taking it from the student's point of view, this year is actually not a bad year to be an applicant if you get top grades, because anyone who gets over that AAB threshold, we look kind of like, you know, Charlie Bucket with his golden ticket. Everyone will be after you. You're onto a winner there, really, and you'll be sort of competed for like never before. And the other thing with the higher fees is that, yes, obviously, there's the fact that you are taking on a lot of debt. You know, £27,000 over 3 years is an awful lot of money, and that might put some people off. But I think universities have realised that. Although there hasn't been an explosion in consumer attitude that some people warned of, they are having to think a lot harder about the student experience and what they're actually giving people for the education that they're essentially purchasing now. So things like, you know, the kind of academics who are involved in teaching, and the amount of contact hours and the facilities that you get, all those things are coming under closer scrutiny than they have been in previous years, which must be to the benefit of students who are coming in this year's intake.
Others are taking a slightly more knee-jerk approach, though, aren't they? I mean, we hear, I think, Jack, you were telling me earlier before we started recording about some universities maybe offering iPads if students took a, place on their courses. I think it's in one of your pieces, Birmingham City University has people going out to schools on A-level results day to offer students on-the-spot places at universities. Now, I'm not criticising that institution. I'm sure some of the courses are very good, but to be offering them in that way sounds to me a bit a very slapdash approach to getting students through the door.
Well, I mean, there's millions of pounds at stake here, so signing up students, getting them on the courses is so important. And and Dominic Shellard was talking about what he called muscular tactics by universities, offering scholarships and financial incentives to get them to sign up. And you could say that's good for those students, but it's a little bit worrying because there's only a certain amount of money for financial aid, and you really want that money to be going to the poorer students who need it rather than the students who are probably quite comfortable but they've got a good clutch of grades. So, so you're basically going from needs-based scholarships and financial bursaries to ability ones.
Yeah, and to get to the point, it's an absolutely terrible reason to pick a university because they might give you an iPad. I mean, it's ridiculous. But universities are competing in every way that they can, and the NUS has been very worried in previous years about financial aid being put into fees discounts rather than bursaries, saying we will charge you £7,000 rather than £9,000. They would much rather the NUS that money was dished out in actual cash bursaries, money in students' pockets so they can afford to live and not have to overburden themselves with second jobs and so on. Because actually, the student loan system set up in such a way that whilst you're taking on massive debt, as I say, most students probably taking on £27,000 over a three-year course in tuition fee debt, they've actually got very beneficial terms in the student loan. I mean, you accuse me of sort of towing David Willetts' line here, but it is true that actually, you don't pay anything back until you earn £21,000. After 30 years, if you've still got debt outstanding, it will be written off. Yeah, that's really bad news for the national balance sheet in 2046 or whenever it is. But actually, for the students, it shouldn't be putting them off going to university, and parents shouldn't think that they're having to save up to send their child and pay those tuition fees, because they're not.
Do you think that message has got through there?
I mean,
tuition fees, that's another factor in this, presumably, that universities are less...
I actually think it has got through. I think students recognise it's a pretty good deal.
I think it might have got through to students, but not... I was at an event the other day chairing David Willetts in a debate, and it was a sort of free, free ticketed event where anyone could come along, and when it got to us doing audience Q&As, I was picking at random for people sticking their hands up in the audience, and almost everybody I picked was a parent, and they just didn't get it. They were all saying, I'm having to, cut X, Y and Z to save money to pay for my students' tuition fees because you've introduced these. It's simply not true. I think their children, the students, may understand it, but I just don't. I think an awful lot of parents, the message hasn't got through.
How is the Tesco with that issue out of interest? Because we obviously coming in from the student sort of once they're at university's point of view. Do you feel that message hasn't been communicated particularly well at school age and teachers and students at schools?
From what we've done now, I think we've picked up a similar thing that it is still putting students off. I mean, I think. For us, it's more the focus on, because we're coming a lot from a teacher's point of view, it's more the focus of how these A-levels are taught. I mean, which comes back to what we were talking about before. You were saying this year's students are in a very good position. I think they're in a good position because they've been taught exams that people are used to, and I think it is an unprecedented period of stability because none of the courses have changed for 4 years. Mm. And I think that's, again, coming down the line, that's what's going to change in a big way, that teachers won't be used to teaching this. They're not going to be able to predict results as well as they were. Mm. And for universities where getting those students with the right results is more important than ever, it's going to be very tricky for them for pitching their offers. So we know that HMC schools have already begun to lobby universities to ensure they're taking account of this when it does come in.
Yeah. In fact, we're actually going to go sort of back to the past under these reforms, where when I was applying to university, it was on predicted grades, what your teacher predicted you. That's been scrapped. It's really now universities go on AS level results generally, and Michael Gove seems to be scrapping the AS or decoupling it from the yeah. A level, and it's lots of schools will be going back to the predicted grades. Is that?
I think they'll be going back to mock exams. I mean, the AS level will survive, but it will be a standalone qualification. So there'll be much less incentive to take it, because before it was the first half of your A level, and you knew from that you would know whether to continue with your strongest or weakest A levels were. Now I think there's a lot of talk. People are suggesting that the extended project, which is something you could do with a diploma, but has kind of come into its own as a way of broadening your studies, that might actually replace AS levels, so that they could become a bit of a dead duck, I think.
Yeah. Interesting period of change. John Gill, editor of Times Higher, William Stewart, reporter on the TES, and Jack Grove, reporter on the Times Higher, thanks for taking part. Both the magazines are, of course, on Twitter, as I believe is everyone in this room, so do look for us on there. You can follow all the news on Results Day and beyond on www.tes.co.uk and www.timeshighereducation.co.uk. But that's all for this joint TES and Times Higher podcast. We'll be back with another one, I'm sure, very, very soon.
You're listening to a podcast from TES and Times Higher Education.